This Bible study resource is brought to you by Preacher Man Milo, a nonprofit corporation designed for the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. It's Bible study time here at the Preacher Man Milo podcast.
We are in Bible study number 55, and in today's study, we are going to focus on how we find success in our struggle seasons, because these struggle seasons make us feel like the storms of life are going to take us out, right? Like this collective struggle season we've all been through for a minute now, the coronavirus pandemic, but not just the collective struggle seasons. What about our individual struggle season? Sometimes it's a financial storm or a health storm or a spiritual storm or a family storm. Like there's always some storm that we think the rain, the pressure, the weather of life is going to take us out. Not today, devil. Not today, Satan. We're going to figure out how do we find success during our struggle seasons. Here's what we're going to learn together today. Number one, we're going to have to agree and admit to this one unescapable truth about our struggle seasons. Listen, there's one truth. If we don't face it, admit it head on, we're not going to be able to find success. So we're going to figure out what that one unescapable truth is. And then after we learn that, we're going to focus on what I call Success 7. These are my 7 steps from the Bible that we all have to apply to our struggle seasons. And if we do that, guess what? We're going to find success. The third thing we're going to learn today is the importance of having Bible-believing friends in our lives when we're going through a struggle season, because you know what? You need someone that knows the word, loves the word, and puts the word in your life during your struggle. And a great example of that is King Solomon in the Bible. This is one person that was going through a struggle season for real. Yeah, he's the king, and yeah, he was wise, but he was weary that one time he was writing Ecclesiastes. Let's read the first 2 verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 so you can see what I'm talking about. Ecclesiastes 1 verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says this: "The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." You see what I mean? This is the king, and he's going through a struggle season saying, you know what? Everything under the sun, everything under the heavens, whether it's wisdom or foolishness or hard work, it's all meaningless, and he's hurting. So I'm going to send him some friends from the Bible today. First of all, I'm going to send him a friend named James. Then I'm going to send him a friend named Peter. Also another friend, a great friend named the Apostle Paul. But not only that, of course, I'm going to send the best friend of all to give him some advice. That friend is Jesus Christ. It's Bible study time here at the Preacher Man Milo podcast. Father God, we thank you for being our safety during the storms of life. We love you, we trust you, and we are honored to fellowship around your word today, because we know whenever it is we preach and teach your holy word, your word does not go out and then return void or unproductive. Your word is going to produce the prosperity you've purposed, because it is your holy, divine, and sovereign words. We just open our heads and hearts today with the goal of better understanding your word. Our goal is not just to hear it, but to hear it, better understand it, and apply it to our lives. We can bring you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We love you. We thank you. We pray as a family, and we pray in that mighty and matchless name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. All right, everybody, listen, I know the storms of life are picking up. It's a struggle season for many of us, for real, but we need our medicine today. Our medicine is found in God's word. Our medicine is found in following and believing Jesus Christ, the good news that he is. Let's get into it together today. Welcome to the Preacher Man Milo podcast. I am still your host, Preacher Man Milo. This is Bible study number 55. This one is called Struggle Season, and it starts now.
To all my people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you. Here's some pain medicine. Let's go! You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on!
There is a big difference between a struggle situation and a struggle season. A situation simply means a state of affairs. Like, this is the situation we're in. This is what's happening right now. And struggle situations, those happen all the time. For example, the husband who keeps leaving the toilet seat up, his wife finds the toilet seat, it's still up, and she's mad. Guess what, bruh? You are in a struggle situation. Or what about the person who gets fired on their day off? How do you get fired on your day off? And why are you stealing boxes? You know what? I don't want to know. But you're in a struggle situation. Or the person who's in court, they're in front of the judge. The judge is asking them a question. That person says, you know what, judge? I plead the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th. You plead in the Fifth Amendment. That means you don't want to incriminate yourself. You don't want to get in further trouble. You are in a struggle situation for real. But struggle situations, they get solved all the time. Like, for example, the guy who leaves a toilet seat up, his wife is angry, but later in the day, they watch a funny movie. They have a nice dinner. She apologizes for how she spoke. She should have been more thoughtful with her words. And he says, you know, I should have put it down. And guess what? The struggle situation is now solved. Or the person who steals boxes and gets fired on his day off. Not a good decision, but you know what? He was tired of that job anyway. There's a better job. He can start tomorrow. Now he makes more money. The struggle situation is solved. Or even if you're in this legal predicament where you want to plead the Fifth and don't say anything, well, that's probably because the evidence against you is not true or it was received illegally. And so now the case has to get dismissed because you didn't incriminate yourself. Guess what? That struggle situation is solved. So struggle situations can be solved pretty quickly. They happen all the time, but they get solved all the time. But a struggle season, that's a situation that stays too long. Like, really? This struggle is still here. It's still affecting me. It defines your days. That's what a struggle season is. Like, for example, think about our year. We divide our year into four seasons, right? Spring, summer, fall, and winter. When the summer comes up, that season is defined by it being hot and sunny. Every day is not hot and sunny. Sometimes it's cold and sometimes it's windy or rainy. But for the most part, the summer is defined by it being hot or sunny. Or the winter is defined by it being cold and rainy, right? Now, is every day in the winter cold and rainy? No, there is once in a while the sun pops up. But for the most part, the winter is defined by it being really cold and rainy and snowy. So a struggle season is this struggle situation that grows and lingers and becomes this season that defines what we're going through. And it's like, God, when can I get out of this struggle season? When am I going to find success in this struggle season? When will it end? And how do I find success in it? And that actually brings me to that one unescapable point that I wanted to make sure we agree on, we admit, and we accept it about our struggle seasons. And it brings me back to King Solomon. Remember, King Solomon, chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes says what? Everything is meaningless. It's utterly meaningless. Everything has no meaning. It's just meaningless. He's the teacher. He's the preacher. He's the one people are gathered around to listen to. And he says, you know what? Everything you do is meaningless on earth. It's just meaningless. In chapter 1, he sets that stage and explains that. And then he goes deeper in that same first chapter to talk about how even wisdom is meaningless. This dude is super wise. And he says, yeah, I'm wise. I'm the king. My wisdom is meaningless. In chapter 2, the first 11 verses, he says, I even tested out pleasure, like doing all the fun things I want to do with my money and my life and my body and women. That's meaningless too. And then he goes further in chapter 2 to say, it's not just wisdom, it's not just pleasure, but even foolishness, like being foolish, that's, you know, meaningless too. Basically, he's saying everything under the sun, everything under the heaven, everything we do on earth has no value. Doesn't matter what it is meaningless. He has a struggle season for real, for real. And then I want to bring up something else he says so we can get to this one unescapable truth. Before I do that, let me clarify that there is a small group of scholars, a handful of scholars that question whether or not Solomon wrote this. I tell you that because you may want to study it on your own. You may want to bring it up to your pastor. You may want to do a Bible study with your friends. I think that's so great to study, like, who wrote Ecclesiastes. It's well settled in the scholastic community. Most of us, all of us, I definitely believe this is Solomon who wrote this because it says, you know, the king, the son of David. But there were other sons of David who could have been considered kings. They weren't as wise as Solomon, but I guess technically it could have been someone else, right? But the scholars who debate this, it's just a few of them, their reasons are based on a general debate about language and how it evolved. I'll do a Bible study on that at some point about etymology and translation and transliteration of language. We don't want to get into that today because that's not our focus. Our focus is our struggle seasons. But some say, listen, the things in Ecclesiastes would not be sayings that were around during Solomon's time. It's kind of like Martin Luther King. Like if I read a letter that someone said Martin Luther King wrote and he says, I have a dream that one day the coronavirus won't hurt us and that the vaccine will protect all of us. I have a dream. I'd say Martin Luther King didn't write that because he wasn't alive during the coronavirus. He had a dream about, you know, racial equality and us loving each other and not letting race divide us, right? Which is a dream we're still working towards today, by the way. But the point is, I would know that Dr. King didn't write that because he was not alive in 2020 when the coronavirus pandemic happened. So some people try to make that argument that some of the things that are said here, they were Hebrewisms or things in the Aramaic language. They were idioms or cliches that weren't around then. But those arguments are not really strong. Scholars have easily refuted them. So I just want you to know there is a little debate, but I'm not about that life. This is clearly the words, the lesson, the teaching of King Solomon. So anyway, he's talking about how everything is meaningless. But then in chapter 3, at verse 1, he says something very important. Here's what Solomon says here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, he says this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Let me say it again. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. He's basically saying, listen, when you take the time plus season, you're talking about a time period, and there is a time period for everything under the sun. He goes further. Let's read the rest of these verses. Let's just read chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 for context. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You see how we like to hug each other, but we're in the social distance time right now. Yeah, I want to hug you, but there's a time to refrain from hugging for safety reasons or for whatever reasons, for joy or, you know, we were friends, but right now we're not in a friendly place. The point is, there's a time for every activity under the heavens. It goes further in verses 6-8 to say a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. He's basically saying, listen, in addition to everything under the sun, under the heavens being meaningless based on the struggle season that I'm in, there's also a time for everything. Sometimes you should be happy, sometimes sad. Sometimes you should be building up, sometimes breaking down. And I just want to remind you really quickly that not only are these verses very important, but we have to remember that in our community and our culture of entertainment, the Bible is the basis of much of it. So for example, Lion King, the movie, a lot of that was based on the Bible in Genesis, right? Or even Game of Thrones. Those of you who watched that, there is so much that was taken from the Bible, it's ridiculous. Like the King of the North, go ahead and read the book of Daniel, for example. But there's so much that is taken from the Bible. Well, there's an old school song by the Byrds that was all about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, these verses I just read about a time for everything. You know, when the Byrds say, there is a season, turn, and they say, a time to die, a time to live, or, you know what, let me sing it better, because I can sound like them if I can have some music, so you know what song I'm talking about. Okay, here's how I sound, or here's how it sounds with music. 1, 2, 3, hit it. Turn to every sea. See, I told y'all I could sound just like them with the music. Okay, that was not me. You know, it's not me. That was actually the Byrds releasing their version of the song in October of 1965. And since we're in October of 2021, when I'm recording this, that's like what? 56 years ago. By the way, the original song wasn't written by the Byrds in 1965. A few years earlier, someone named Pete Seeger wrote the song. That was in 1962, and he didn't name the song Turn, Turn, Turn. The original name was called To Everything There Is a Season. And the point is, this song was based on the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, breaking down the things that happen in every season. There is a time things turn, right? So I bring that up because on this podcast, while our focus is learning more about the Bible and how to apply God's word, it's cool to learn other facts or other things, one of which is our music for the longest, our entertainment in this culture for the longest has often been based on the Bible. And this was just another example of that. Okay, so Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And remember, that song says there is a time to every purpose under the heavens. They're just saying what King Solomon said, that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, right? But here's the one unescapable truth that we need to accept, agree on, admit, and move on and just face together. Here it is. Struggle seasons happen from time to time. That's it, right? There is a time for every season, every activity under the sun. There will be times in your life where you will have seasons of struggle. There'll be these situations of struggle you can't solve immediately or quickly. They'll turn into seasons. And from time to time, that's going to happen. We just have to hit that head on, right? Storms of life happen. There's a famous saying that many preachers use. We don't know who originated it, but it's something along the lines of everyone is either in a storm, headed into a storm, or coming out of a storm, but somewhere there's a storm nearby. Like the storms of life happen, struggle seasons happen from time to time. I just need us to accept that because it's true. So when you're in the struggle season, you stop saying, why me? Or what's wrong with me? Or why does God hate me? No, boo-boo, we are all going through struggle seasons at some point. They're not the same. Some are similar, but they're all individual. And it's our time to say, okay, since struggle seasons happen from time to time, because there is indeed a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun, under the heavens, we got to figure out how we deal with our struggle seasons and find success. And that's going to turn us to Preacher Man Milo, Success 7. These are the 7 biblical truths that we can apply to our lives to find success during and through and even after our struggle seasons. Let's get to it. Let's turn to Success 7, our first point, number 1. Here's the point. Your struggle season produces perseverance. That's right. Your struggle season produces perseverance. Let's bring James into this. This is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The Word of God says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance," right? So James is saying, look, King Solomon, I know you're going through a struggle season, or look, you listening to Preacher Man Milo, I know you're going through a struggle season, but you're going to produce perseverance because your faith in God is going to let you fight through something that you couldn't fight through if you didn't have this faith. This faith is going to let you know you're a strong person that can get through the storm because your faith is not in your own strength. It's in the strength of God who created everything, who loves you. It's going to produce perseverance. Now, James goes further in the next 2 verses to say this, verses 4 and 5, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Listen, the first point in your struggle season is you're now going to produce perseverance. And you know that's true, right? You know, when you lift 100 pounds, you're lifting weights, and then you say, let me add another plate. Let me make it 150. Well, now I can lift that weight. I'm feeling stronger. If I can get through that, if I can persevere through that, what else can I accomplish? When you persevere through something hard, you're saying, wait a minute, I have a character of loyalty and discipline, and I can deal with suffering and get through it. I'm going to be able to get through other things in life. I'm going to persevere. My faith produces a fight in me that I didn't know I had unless I go through my struggle season. So we thank James for that wonderful advice in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. I also love what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Before we go there, remember, the great thing about the Bible is these friends agree with each other. So in 1 Peter, before we get to the second point, I just want you to know that Peter agrees with James, because in 1 Peter, let's see, chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, the word says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." He's saying, listen, Peter is saying, listen, when you find yourself in these struggle seasons, don't be surprised, like, wow, this is strange. No, I get to find joy that I participate in the sufferings of Christ. If I'm being persecuted because I believe in Jesus, if I'm not getting the love or the support, or I'm going through a hardship, we'll consider it all joy. That's what James just said. Okay, so they agree with each other. So our first point is your struggle season produces perseverance. That's the first of 7 points. Here's the second point. Your struggle season ends, and it ends in your favor. Let me say it again. Your struggle season ends, and it ends in your favor. We turn to our friend named Peter to give us that perspective. Here's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Right? It's saying, listen, yeah, you're going to suffer for a little while, but God is going to bring you the grace. And guess what? You're not just part of his worldly glory, but his heavenly, his eternal glory. And he himself will do four things: restore you, confirm you, strengthen, and establish you. So not only will your struggle season produce perseverance, but your struggle season ends in your favor. Listen, struggle seasons happen from time to time, but they also have a time to end. And when it ends, it's going to end in your favor. I love how the late, great Maya Angelou said it. She said, every storm runs out of rain. I love that, right? So the point is, the storm ends, be encouraged, develop your perseverance, and then know that when it ends, it's going to end in your favor, where you're restored, confirmed, strengthened, and established. Okay? So we just sent King Solomon's point of everything under the sun. There's a season and an activity and a purpose. So struggle seasons will happen. And we just sent him some information from James, our friend named James, our friend named Peter. But now I want to get to Paul and Jesus. Let's turn there together now, because you know what? Your enemies are coming from you. So we got to say, look, God, they're looking for me in this struggle season. So God, I'm looking for you. And we are summarizing my Preacher Man Milo Success 7. These are the 7 biblical truths that we need to apply to our lives to find success during our struggle season. We went over point 1 and point 2 already. Now we're going to summarize really quickly the final 5 so we can understand, like, what are these 7 points that we need to put in our heads and hearts during our struggle seasons. But before we do that, 2 quick things. Number 1, I want you to know that this is a series in the making, right? Like, we can take each of these points in week 1, week 2, week 3, and talk about each one in detail. Today, we're just summarizing. So you have the 7 success points for your struggle season, but you can also take these points, read the Bible, talk to God about it. I think it's wonderful when you do some heavenly homework and say, okay, I got the summary today. Let me figure out how to apply this to my life and kind of start doing that now so I can find the success I need in my struggle season. Also, I want to give a quick shout out to Kurt Franklin for that wonderful song we've been playing, Looking for You. What he's saying is, listen, for those of you who are in the struggle, I know you think God forgot about you, but here's some pain medicine. You got to know that the struggle is going to lead you to looking for God, and he's right there ready to protect you, guide you, give you the victory, and you're going to love him even more than you did before, because you're producing perseverance and it ends in your favor. I just love that song. Okay, so really quickly, let's go through these 7 points. The first 2 points we went over already, your struggle season 7 success points from Preacher Man Milo. Number 1 is, your struggle season produces perseverance. That was James. Number 2, your struggle season ends and it will end in your favor. That's Peter. Okay, let's get now to point number 3, which is this. Your struggle season won't win if you don't grow weary. Ooh, I love that. Your struggle season won't win if you don't grow weary. That is guidance we get from our friend, the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Here's what that scripture says. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In due season. Remember, struggle seasons happen from time to time, but the struggle season produces perseverance. And when it ends in your favor. You're going to go from struggle season to due season. Due season's when you reap the harvest from doing good during your storm. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Shout out to Apostle Paul for that. Point number 3. Here's point number 4. I love this point. You ready? Point number 4, God's word is always in season. That's also the Apostle Paul. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Listen, preach the word and be prepared to preach this word in season and out of season. Listen, it might be winter, but the word of God is still good in winter. It might be summer, it's still good in summer. You might be in a harvest season where everything's going wonderful. Well, the word of God is good then, but also when you're struggling, things aren't going good. That's really when the word of God becomes good. So in season, out of season, pretty much no matter what time is happening, the word of God is always on time. It's always time to get in your Bible, learn about Jesus, learn about the scripture. It's going to help you, right? So you don't want to say, oh, I'm struggling. I'm not going to turn to God. I'm going to turn to what? Pornography or alcohol, or I'm going to manipulate someone else to regulate my feelings because I need someone else to make me happy. Nope. God's word is always in season. Be prepared in season and out of season. Thank you for our friend Apostle Paul for that point. But he gives us even a third point. Look at this awesome point from the Apostle Paul. Point number 5, your struggle season is solved through Christ. Uh-oh. Let me say that again for those in the back who turn their ears off. Your struggle season is solved through Christ. Remember, struggle situations happen all the time, but they're solved pretty quickly, right? They go away. But the struggle season, you got to solve it through Christ. That's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. God's holy word says this, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Or said better, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it all through Christ. Now, when you read Philippians chapter 4, he's not saying simply you can be or do whatever you want. It's not just this motivational speech. The Apostle Paul is teaching about the secret to having a content life. To be content is living a Christ-centered life. In that passage, the Apostle Paul is teaching that, you know what? I've had good days and bad days. I've had highs and lows. I've been rich or poor. But through it all, whether up or down, high or low, the contentment is in Christ. I can do it all. I can have the good days and the bad days. It's Christ who gives me the strength. I can handle my struggle season through Christ. I can handle my do season, my success season through Christ, which is interesting because we all know we have this natural instinct to turn to God when we're in trouble. We call that crisis faith. I'm in a crisis, so I'm going to turn to God. And so we know we need God then. But the crazy part is when you're really successful, you got a lot of money, your body's looking good, and everybody wants you, that's when you got to turn to Christ for humility to say, you know what? I'm feeling myself, and I'm not following who I really am in Christ, and I'm going to lead myself into a storm and then get a crisis and turn back to God. You need God in your tough seasons, your struggle seasons, but your good seasons as well. Your struggle season is solved through Christ. That's Apostle Paul. Those last three things we got from the Apostle Paul. Now the last two, I want to turn to Jesus himself to finish out Preacher Man Milo's Success 7, these 7 points. Here's point 6. During your struggle season, Jesus is your rock. Okay? That's it. During your struggle season, who's your rock? It's Jesus himself, right? Let's turn to Matthew 7. I'm going to read verses 24 through 25. Here's Jesus speaking to you. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. He's saying, listen, whoever follows what I've been teaching you, it's like someone who's prepared for the storm, right? You've built a house with a strong foundation because your foundation is built on the rock, the words of Jesus Christ. Now, this is found in Matthew chapter 7. You should know that Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is simply Jesus preaching and teaching what I believe is the most amazing sermon ever preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And so if you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he's preaching. And since it ends in chapter 7, as it ends, he says, okay, I've been preaching to you. Those who take my words and apply them and practice them, you're like a wise person who built his house on the rock. You can handle the storms that come your way. The next two verses, he explains about the opposite person. Verses 26 to 27, he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus is saying, you know what? You follow me, my words, that's going to be the rock during your struggle season. That's point six. Here's our final point. Also, Jesus, I just love this point. You ready? Final point, number seven, your struggle season success is found in focusing above the sun. I just love that. Remember, King Solomon was saying, everything is meaningless under the sun, under the heavens. And even though he was wise, he was going through the struggle season. And what he's saying is, listen, whether you're wise or foolish, whether you make a lot of money or a little money, whether you decline yourself the pleasures of life, or whether you just lust and do whatever you want, it all ends in death. It all ends in the same result. There really is no reason under the sun to do any of it. It's all meaningless. And the true wisdom is he's right. He's right, because everything under the sun, it ends to death. If you're a billionaire or you're in poverty, you both end the same way, and someone else spends your money. Or if you don't have money, it's like whatever you do under the sun, there really is no rhyme and reason. But that's the point. Our success is focused above the sun, what's happening in heaven. He didn't connect his wisdom to the wonderful realities of Jesus Christ and the wonderful realities of heaven, that there's something happening above the sun, above the heavens, which is really the beauty and the wisdom of what happens in the New Testament. Jesus says in that same Sermon on the Mount, right? Not in Matthew 7, but in Matthew 6, starting at verse 19 through 20, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." See, Solomon was going through this struggle season where his heart and his head was based on what's happening on earth, and how even being a king and having the power to do whatever you want, all the money, even all the wisdom, it wasn't enough. There was no peace. There was no happiness. And his struggle season needed to look above the sun, which Jesus teaches us. Okay, so really quickly, let's recap our 7 points for today. I'm so proud of you all. You went over the success seven, Milo's 7 points of biblical truth. We looked at James, Peter, Paul, and Jesus. And here's a recap of the 7 points that you can apply right now in your struggle season. Number one, your struggle. First of all, before we get to the 7 points, struggle seasons happen from time to time, right? That's the one unescapable truth. But here's the 7 biblical truths you can apply to that to help you with your struggle season. Number one, your struggle season produces perseverance. Number two, your struggle season ends and it ends in your favor. Number three, your struggle season won't win if you don't grow weary. Number four, God's word is always in season. Number five, your struggle season strength is found through Christ. Number six, during your struggle season, Jesus is your rock. And number seven, your struggle season is found by having a heart for what is happening above the sun. So if you take these 7 success points and apply them to your struggle situation, you will succeed, you will persevere, you will grow closer to God. Your struggle season will end and end in your favor. So be excited and look for God, because Jesus is ready right now to be your rock during your struggle season. Jesus is your rock, and he keeps our hearts connected to what's happening above. So say, "Jesus, I love you. I need you in this season. I'm looking for you."
Here we go now. Don't stop now. Let's go now. In the front now. In the back now. Let's go now. Ladies. That's for the struggle. That's for the pain. That's for those dark nights.
You have been listening to another Bible study episode on the Preacher Man Milo podcast. And in a moment, Milo is going to close out with prayer and final thoughts. Now, if you liked this episode, it would be a good idea to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss the next one. Thanks for listening. Now, here is Pastor Milo to close us out in prayer.
Entering into prayer as a family, Father God, we thank you that our faith in you produces perseverance. We thank you that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. We thank you that your holy, divine, and sovereign word is good in season and out of season. It's good during our successful season, and it's just as good during our struggle seasons. We trust you. We follow you. We know our victories in you, and we pray that we give you the glory and the honor you deserve. We pray in one voice as one family who loves you and trusts you in this and every season, and we say together boldly and beautifully in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right, you guys, you don't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here because the Bible study is over. But remember, we just summarized the success seven, the 7 points that I think are key to solving our struggle season with God's word. This is just a summary. We didn't break down the scriptures in great detail, but you can actually do that on your own. Like Galatians chapter 6, we focused on reaping a due harvest. But the earlier verses in that same chapter says, you reap the harvest by sowing, by planting what pleases the Spirit of God, not what pleases your flesh, for example. So when this becomes a series, we can go deeper into each point, go deeper into each scripture, but there's nothing stopping you from doing that on your own right now, okay? I love you. I want you to go with God, and I want you to make it a happy day in Jesus' name.